Welcome to Creating Cashflow
For January 19th, 2025. Kira. Did I see you? Hi. All right, let's
Hi.
just jump in and start. Kira is a cashflow kitten, and her side business is as an intuitive oracle. She has just been through 2 weeks at her job. So originally, a session or two ago, you had talked about like, okay, I have two things happening this week. I'm going in for a meeting and I'm asking for a raise and a new position, and I'm going to HR to report one of my horrible coworkers. And you did all of that. Congratulations. And he was fired. Congratulations. Good news.
My God.
So yeah, and so now you are saying, okay, they're going to talk to you soon about your request, and they've been dangling this carrot of like promotion or raise for like 9 months. And you're feeling afraid that they're going to try to lowball you. So the question is related to how do you get into the power cycle place so that you can feel confident asking for what you want? And you wrote that you had originally asked for $90,000 for a non-supervisory position, but what you'd really like is a director level position at 100K per year, which is a 35K raise from where you're at. So to get clear on that, is the 90,000 what you asked for a long time ago, or what you asked for last week?
It didn't come up last week, actually, that part at least, but I had asked for 90K like in the summer,
Okay.
and they were like, it's unlikely that we will give you this. And so, yeah, I am having that voice in my head. So, yeah.
And so after the stuff, now that you've been through last week, where are you at in regards to, do I care if I stay? Do I want to go? If they do lowball me, will I still stay? Like, where are you at?
So, I mean, still, this is not my dream job at all. And I have other plans of things that I could do. I have some money and savings as well that could carry me at least 6 months. And yeah, I don't feel attached to staying at the job, to be honest, but I think if they did lowball me, it just depends on how much they try to lowball. I guess a lot of it really depends on like what the offer sounds like. And I guess, you know, I know last time Kate had a great suggestion of just saying, you've given me a lot to think about. Let me get back to you, basically.
Yeah. You should definitely. So part of getting yourself into the power cycle is going in knowing, oh, I don't even have to react to this offer. I just have to be like, oh yeah, okay, well, you've given me a lot to think about. I'll get back to you. You don't even have to say when. They're in no rush, obviously, to give you a raise. So here's the thing is, I know that this is a lot of money that you're making. You know, it's paying your rent. It's not like I'm like, hey, it's not that. But if you do decide to stay, you should definitely pull all of your energy back and do the bare minimum of the job until you find another job or build up a side business or decide you want to go, because they're not paying you for what you would love to give them. And if you give it for free, that's on you. And you've been giving it for free. So this has to be kind of a new day in regards to your energy output. And I want to make this distinction because, especially for those of us raised as female, it can be kind of ingrained. This idea of like, oh, but I don't want to be a person who doesn't care about my work. You know, I want to care, and I care about what this business actually does. Caring and investing, two different things. You can care about what the business does and the people that the business helps. You can care about your coworkers. You can care about the business. Like, it's not like you're wishing ill will on it. And you can choose not to invest your energy in a place that doesn't want it. It's the overinvestment that just drains women of a lot of their juice that they could be putting elsewhere in their lives. And it's because investing, it's like, if I care, how I show that is by investing. It's like, no, you can just care. And care means don't damage it. Don't steal the post-its. Don't like crash, like leave it as least as good as you found it. You've already left it. If you were to leave today, you'd already left it better than you found it.
Definitely.
So yeah, so you can care all day long and also not invest. So that's, want to say that. So you have to go into this to be in the power cycle. You have to go into the meeting knowing what you want, 100,000 for a director position, and also what you'll take. So, what will you take?
I mean, some of that kind of depends on what they are willing to offer, I think. And I don't think I want to take less than 85. And yeah, some of it just also kind of depends on what they're proposing. And so, it's I just think a lot of it will be an explore. I think it'll be sort of an exploratory meeting for us both. Yeah, so I want to just like I think just remembering that I don't have to make any decision that at that time or say yes to anything is good. I think I'm afraid to say I want $100,000 annually and a director level position, but I think maybe that's where I can sort of lean in to my discomfort. And yeah, I know that even 100,000 for that kind of position is still like kind of a lower on the lower end, but it still feels uncomfortable for me to say that because I know how little they've valued me financially thus far. And so some of it I think is a little bit of like people pleasing that is there.
Yeah. And here's the other thing is that you're asking for, I know you're already doing the work of the director level position, but if you want a position of authority and leadership and the commensurate pay, you kind of have to embody that energy. So
Definitely, yeah.
your job, your not just your job, but like the experiment, the thing that's going to make you stronger for having this meeting. Because if you get nothing out of the meeting, you might as well be like, well, I'm going to practice building a muscle, because then at least it wasn't for naught. So you can practice the muscle of directorship energy. It's like, look, I'm embodying that job. I can do that job. And it's not about people pleasing. It's about execution and leadership. And this is what I need in order to do that job. Like, you don't have to say any of that, but that's the energy that you're coming in with. Because if you don't come in with that energy, they're like, oh, well, she'll stay. She doesn't have that. And it's the reason people certainly raised as men, they kind of naturally have a little bit more of that energy, a little bit more aggression, a little, and it's kind of a game to a lot of them. So it's like, I don't know, I'm going to ask for insane things and then probably get, something semi-insane. It's because it's not as like, I want to be seen as nice. I want to be seen as a team player. I just want to be valued. It's like value yourself and bring that energy in and shift their perspective of you. Because I think that's the most important. They are looking at you through a very particular lens, which is why they've taken their sweet time and blah, blah, blah. But you can use the fact that you just did this HR thing and got somebody fired of like, yeah, I'm a mover and a shaker. And I am coming in as a new person, a new Kira, with just slightly more power cycle energy. You don't have to be aggressive, but you have to be clear and direct and value yourself. And just trying on that energy will. It's like a whole new experience. Like, oh, okay. Well, I just did that there. Where else can I do it?
Yeah,
And
definitely.
what is your fear? What is your little lizard brain when you think in your mind, I kind of want $100,000 in a directorship position? Your little lizard is like, whoa, Kira, what are you doing? What is your lizard saying will happen if you even ask for that?
Like, can I do I actually want that? Am I gonna be able to live up to that, I guess, or embody that? And yeah, I guess, like, do I really trust this company enough to even want what that may actually entail, because I just see how much they like to overwork and underpay their workers. So I think it's like there is a little bit of that mixed in. And then, yeah, it's like, do I really fit in here? Will I fit in with the leadership at this company? I guess a lot of it is like, do I really actually want this? Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of options. Okay, first of all, if you get it, you don't actually have to work any harder. You're already doing the work. You don't have to work harder. Ladies, listen up. Very often, you think if you get a promotion or you get paid more, you suddenly have to work harder. Why? You're just getting rewarded for the work you just did, basically. You don't have to. If people demand it of you, you can decide if you want to do it. You can see if they'll hire you an assistant or you can leave. You could get this role and literally the next day be like, I don't fit in with this company. Like, I don't really want this. And you could keep your job for 4 months, pocket the extra cash, and leave. Like, the other thing is, a lot of times we have this thought of like, oh, but if they're giving me this gift of a promotion, if they're giving me this gift of a huge raise, then I owe them. You don't. They've made you sit around for 9 months. It's like you don't owe them anything. And because energetically, there's not a reciprocation here, which is why you're feeling meh about the job. If there was an energetic reciprocation, and your boss was like, oh my God, I love you so much. I think it's time for a raise. I think it's time for a promotion. You'd be all jet. You would naturally have energy and enthusiasm to do the work. But you're like, can you please pay me for what I've given you for the last year? And they're like, well, maybe. And even if they do, you don't have to work any harder because it's like past pay. When actors do their first couple movies, they're not getting any money. And then, if they get very popular, then they'll get a big paycheck. It's not like they're acting harder for the bigger paycheck. The paycheck is just Well, you're going to contribute to part of this bigger pie, so you get a bigger slice of the pay. They're not working harder. They're just acting. And you're just helping this company in the way you've been helping. So if you take what I'm saying is take off the idea of like, oh, getting this promotion would be more work. Getting this promotion means I have to at least stay there a year. Getting this promotion means now I owe the company something. If you took all of that off the table, does it make getting the promotion seem a little lighter? If you know you.
It does, yeah. I mean, because I have other goals that I want to be pursuing, which is like my side business and also going back to school. And I'm hoping that this job can just fit in with my other goals and not sort of take over and overshadow my other goals, which is what it's been doing for a long time now. And it doesn't pay, like right now, it doesn't even pay enough for me to have a place of my own to rent. And so it's like, it's just been sort of a long period of deprivation. And I'm like, it's just meeting like my basic sort of bare bones expenses that I've kind of cut down, to be able to keep afloat and have like a little bit of money saved each month. And yeah, so it's definitely, it would help for sure if I could just perceive it as like, I don't have to work any harder. I don't have to work any more hours. I can
No.
still keep the flexibility that I need and want and have cultivated for myself thus far, and just make more money and do something that's a little bit more fulfilling at the company. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's the company culture? You're on salary, and so what? 60-hour weeks? What are we talking about?
No, the standard is like I would say 35. It's
Do you
like
track
nine.
me?
It's like 9 to 5. We can have an hour lunch, and even that is like too much for me. And so I kind of, because I work really efficiently, I can work less hours than that and get more than anyone else done, basically. So
Yeah,
it's,
great. So don't work any
yeah.
more hours and
Yeah, I can't.
consider and promotion back pay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So now how do you feel about asking for 100K and a promotion?
I feel good. I feel better. Yeah, I'm gonna just go in and
Why
pack.
not?
Yeah.
All they're going to say is, ah, no. That's the worst, is they laugh at you and then say no.
Yeah.
And then you go, let's say they laugh in your face. Then you go, oh, well, what's your counter offer?
Yeah.
Because that's still you in the power cycle. The meeting is a success, not if you get what you want. The meeting is a success if you can stay in the power cycle the whole meeting and not flip back into subservient and nice and grateful. And you just stay in the power. What's your counter offer? Well, the best we can do is 85 and blue de dee blue. Okay, well, that gives me something to think about. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's great. Super
Now,
helpful.
for everybody being in the power cycle in a meeting like this, you don't feel that way on the inside. You feel blah, 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 and your nervous system is all like freaking out, and you're just like, don't cry. And like you can be feeling all of the feelings, and you can feel a little adrenalized, which means your voice could quick quake. Sometimes when we're really angry or we're just really passionate about something or we're really nervous about something, we can't control how our body is reacting because our body is usually reacting to old stuff. But that doesn't mean that even with all of that, you can't stay in the power cycle of thinking and saying to yourself, just because my voice is wavering right now doesn't mean I'm not intelligent and not sounding intelligent and not worthy of communicating clearly what I want. Just because I'm nervous doesn't mean I'm not clear. Two different things. You can feel all the emotions and stay in the power cycle. What we think the power cycle feels like is the movies. Boom, I'm the boss lady and I have no feeling, like I can just cut. And no, that's not how it feels. And even for me, you know, every time I raise my prices, I'm like, but I do it anyway, you know, if I have to. So you're going to do this anyway, and you're going to learn a lot about yourself as you do it. And you're going to learn a lot about them too. So what's
Definitely, yeah.
great is they made you wait since last summer. So you can make them wait several weeks if you wanted to, like, hear their offer and come back here in 2 weeks and chat about it. And let's see, we can go over your options. We can see how you want to respond. Like, totally happy to do that. And if they're like,
Yeah, that sounds good.
and if they say, well, we're going to need your answer in 2 days, or if it's been a week and they come back and go, we really need your answer, you go, well, we started this discussion last August, so it's probably okay if I take a few more weeks, right? Or a few more days, right? You just point back when this discussion started in August. It didn't start January 20th or whatever. That's power cycle. It's like,
Yeah.
well, we've been having this discussion since August. So I'm going to need a few more days.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. I highly recommend Great,
Mm-hmm.
you're so much growth. And then you asked about your side business, which is the intuitive oracle business. And could you want to be working on it and you want to build your website? But you know, all of this stuff has been going on, and you asked to break down action into like bite-sized pieces so it feels more manageable. So let's look at it in terms of the first quarter of this year. What would you like done, or what would you like done in that business by the end of March? Like, have a website or
I think I would like to have a website. Yeah. And even a really simple,
yeah.
like one page,
Yes. I think
just
that's
like,
all you need.
yeah, just something that where there's a place where if I'm putting flyers out, like there's an easy place to go and sort of a contact that's linked to that.
Okay. What else?
I had a sort of goal for this year that I would like to make $1,500 in my business for the year, and so that would be, let's see, $375 in the first 3 months.
Okay. And how does that break down as far as, like, what does that mean? Like, how many sessions would that be?
I guess so. This is also what I've been trying to work out in here is like how to do the pricing and how and wanting to offer sliding scale, but also not wanting to totally lowball myself. So I would say it could be anything from like two, three, no, yeah. It could be anywhere from like one to three, I guess,
One to three.
sessions per month.
Okay. So how much am I paying you per session, let's say?
I think I said 40 for the like lowest end, but I feel like 50 is better.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and then the highest end would be 150.
Okay. So put the highest price on your website and then write on the website, happy to help you work within your budget. Please inquire if you need a sliding scale.
Okay.
But you know in your head the lowest you'll go is 50. So you can, you know, ask the person, well, what would work for you? My regular price is 150, so what would work for you? And maybe they'll be like, could you do 85? And you can go, yeah, I totally would do that. You have 50 in your head, but that doesn't mean you just let them choose the scale. Okay,
Okay, that sounds
cool.
good.
So you mentioned flyers. Do you need to create the flyers and then post the flyers or?
Yes.
Okay. So that you see is sort of like a marketing thing to get the word out. And would another marketing thing maybe be to tell everybody you know, exclusionary people at work, but like tell your community that you're doing this so that everybody can know about
Yeah.
it and help other people? You know, here's my new website. It describes what I do and what you'll get from it. Yeah. So then for your first quarter, you have to get the website up, tell everybody you know about it, and post some flyers to get your first $375 worth of work. And then you keep marketing and you keep thinking of new ways to market and market and market and market until you get the 375. And so for the website, you need to figure out what platform you're going to build it on. There's free platforms, there's like Squarespace stuff that you pay for. You have to figure that out and then figure out how to build just a one page where the navigation, you click on it and just drops you down to the different sections. And you can look around the website. If you just Google like one page websites, you'll get a lot of examples of those and you can kind of pick and design it. So it sounds like the first part of the quarter is the website, first half, and the second half of the quarter is getting the word out.
I feel like it'll probably just take me the first quarter to even do the website. It's taken me so long already.
Well,
Yeah.
that depends. If you want it, you don't have to have it go faster. You could spend the first quarter doing the website. There's no police that are going to show up to your house and be like, "Where's your website?" It's just
Yeah.
the speed at which you want it to kind of unfold. And if you want to increase the speed, then it is about making this stuff more important than your work, which means you have to conserve your energy at work, dial it down so you have energy at night or on the weekends to put at least 2 hours towards this. The way to grow a business is to make it more important than the other work you're doing. And
Yeah.
you have to value it first before anybody else values it. So my suggestion would be decide how much time do I actually have, truly in a month to put towards the Oracle business? And it could be you work on it every other week. I'm not saying you have to work on it every week, but I want you to say, I have 4 hours a month to put toward it, or I have 8 hours a month, some number, pick a number. And then once you have that number, it's like, okay, where are those hours going to go? Do I work on the weekends? Do I work best at in the evenings? Do I work best during my lunch hours at work? Do I work best like in the mornings? Like, and it can be different every week, it can be different every month. But it's about, I'm going to put this amount of time and I'm going to make it happen. If you want it to go faster, you put more time. If you are having trouble sticking to the time, you bring in a business partner, not a partner for your business, but a business buddy, an accountability buddy. That you either, or you do power hours or something where you're like, I'm working with another person who is like, knows I'm trying to work on this and is holding me accountable. You either work with them or you guys have a weekly phone call where you check in and be like, okay, on Tuesday, I'm going to be doing this. And then I'll let you know when I do it. You help yourself help yourself. Does that make
Sounds
sense?
good. It does, yeah.
Okay. I know that you know how to do this because this is what you do at your job.
I
You get
do.
shit done at your job. It's the exact same thing here. It's that you are thinking that your job deserves more of your energy because that's where you get more of your money. But that is not how entrepreneurship works. Entrepreneurship's like, no one's paying me for anything yet, but I think it's the most important thing in my life. Same with anything artistic. No one's asking me or paying me to do this, but I need to do this for me. And I'm going to try to make it make money. Cool?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm so proud of how strong you're being and how you're tackling scary things. That's awesome.
Thank you. I
You're
appreciate all
welcome.
your support.
Yeah. So, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Christine Aller. I created Creating Cash Flow. I also coach some of the mindset calls in Abundance Bound Financial Empowerment Program. And so, normally, how this works is I get some folks will submit questions in advance. And so, I can kind of read those over and I'll always do those first. But if you also want to get coached and didn't submit a question, if there's any time left over, I will take the hands that are raised. So if you like want to get coached, raise your hand and I will do my best to kind of watch the time and fit it all in if possible or as much as possible. Erica, are you here? Hi. Okay. Erica is a cash flow kitten and she teaches at Bar Fitness Studio. Okay. So let me encapsulate what's going on. And you can tell me if I'm getting this right. So you've been teaching at this bar facility, and the owners are like, "We want to sell. Hey, do you want to buy it?" And you're like, "I don't know. That sounds kind of cool. Like, let me think about that." And you're asking, like, "Okay, this seems potentially interesting. It could bring in more income because you at the moment are like maxed out as a teacher. Like, I can do this many classes a week and." This is what I'm getting from that, but you're looking for sources of more income. And you know the community, you know how to teach this stuff. It's a familiar business. It's not like you're going to open a KFC. And the business itself right now is profitable. They also have a manager of the business in place that would kind of continue working there. So it wouldn't just be like, okay, bye, here's the keys. And then you flee. And you're going to sign an NDA soon so you can like dig into the financials of the business. And then you're trying to prepare a list of questions to kind of guide you through the conversations you'll have with the current owners and just sort of to wrap your brain around, is this a good investment? And your concerns are, is being a small business owner of a brick and mortar business too much to then also write and pursue your creative career as a writer? You're also a mom of a 2.5-year-old, and you and your partner right now have zero debt, and then you have some savings, and your husband also works in television post-production, so he also works in the industry. I got that right? All that. Okay. So the first thing I have to say is this is a little bit out of my pay grade as far as like I don't have a lot of experience with brick and mortar. I haven't had a lot of clients who've had that kind of situation before, but I can offer you some thoughts. So, I'm assuming since the business is a franchise, that they're able to transfer it. Like, one question I'd be like, so if this franchise changes hands from one person to another, is that something from the level of the franchisor that triggers a raise in fees? That you have to pay back to because that's how franchises work. You pay it back to the main people who created the business. So is changing hands something that would up the fees? So when they show you in their financials, oh, this is how much we pay, you'd really want to know, well, is that number going to stay the same? A lot of what I'm thinking of is like, okay, you're going to see the numbers, but you have to make sure if any of those are actually going to change. Because I could see the franchisor being like, oh, if you change hands, then it triggers a raise in, just like when you change an apartment, they'll raise the rent for the next person. Also, the lease on the building is up for renewal next year. Is the landlord going to continue at that same rate? Like, can you talk to the landlord about like how do you plan to have this continue? That's another little thing that I'd want to know. And then I'd encourage you to have a lawyer working with you. I'm assuming you are doing that. But I'd really be interested in if you take on this business, how are you going to protect your little nest egg? Like how, and the protection around your, it's not like, obviously it'll be an S corp or an LLC or something where it's separated from your personal finances, but what we don't want is the business to be rocky and you having to pull from your savings to kind of just keep the business alive. That is not great. Because you don't have enough money for that not to make a hit on your family, which would mean a hit on your relationship with your husband, and you might definitely Google. I would Google this and I would also put it through ChatGPT. What to ask before buying a business? What to ask before buying a franchise? What to ask before buying a fitness studio? Because there might be questions that come up that you're like, oh, yeah, that's good to ask. So I would definitely do something like that. And the Small Business Association. Sometimes they have free conversations that you can have with them. Have you had a conversation yet with anybody else in the fitness world who ever owned a brick and mortar place?
Well, the good news is I haven't yet, for two reasons. One, so I'm in New York, and that's where this would be, but I actually am friends with somebody who owns a franchise location newly in the greater LA area, and she also is, a screenwriter creative. So I've been wanting to connect with her just to be like, hey, how's the workflow on doing this? Like, are you still writing, or is this like consuming every waking moment of your life? With the fires, I, have been giving a beat before. I'm like, tell me about your business. But I've been in touch with her, and we'll connect soon. And then I also have the full intention to have like a really in-depth talk with the new owner of the other New York location that recently, bought out the person that I would be buying out. To really pick her brain. The current owners that I'm talking with, they recommended, which I agree with, to just wait to talk with her until I see a little bit more, because right now my questions are just not going to be as informed as they will be after I get more information. Yeah, I mean, this could all be just a hard no. Like, it's very possible that like, the numbers are just completely not feasible to our financial picture, and that no bank in their right mind is going to loan us enough for it. I mean, it might just be a hard no. I think it's just the thing that's really breaking my brain is I'm open to the idea of full-time employment and giving more of my time to something that brings in money. Like, I've done a lot of like shifting about how that's not me failing as an artist, that's me empowering myself to keep making art in the long run and all that good stuff. So I'm ready for that mental shift. But I think the thing that scares me in this model is, again, how much do you pay into a full-time job, essentially, which is, how this is different than a full-time job. Like, I'm buying into something and assuming all that risk, assuming the responsibility for everybody who works there and all of the, like, literally, like, there was a plumbing issue recently, and like that's the kind of stuff I would be taking on. And so I think it's just going to be a game of looking at the numbers and seeing if the profit and their take home that they've been paying themselves and all that merits that, and how long it would take to kind of have that initial investment, balance out with the take home. And I don't quite know how to like game that out mentally yet, but I'm sure it will
Yeah.
make more sense when I see those numbers. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't have enough data yet for that. And I'm glad that you're like, okay, well, it could be a yes, but it could be also a no. Like you're very open to it. And this is for everybody listening. When you're in a business negotiation with someone, you have to talk to other people doing the same thing that's not involved with this, because a lot of times people only talk to the person who's selling. The person who's selling wants to sell. You know how hard it is to find someone who wants to buy a business? And they're like, even if they're the loveliest people with integrity, there's so much temptation to just make it seem great so that you will say yes, so they can be done with this. So they are not your friend. They're not on your team. And you have to take everything they say with a grain of salt. That's why you need a lawyer, and to talk to other people. So I'm really happy you have this person in LA. That's perfect. And what you really want to be asking also is, what do you wish you knew before it became your business? What would you do differently if you were doing this all over again? And what do you miss the most from your previous life that this has kind of taken away from it? Because it, you are correct. This is very different than just getting a full-time job. You have to want to run a business. This isn't just teaching. You probably will do a speck of teaching and much more marketing. And much more people management and plumbing shit and stuff like that. That will be your world. And also, with having a partner, and then on top of that, having a young child, is how good are you at holding the boundary between what the business needs and what everybody in the business needs and what you and your family need? Because it can become all about the business. I think if you didn't have a kid and if you didn't have a partner in a volatile industry, not that any industry these days isn't volatile, but certainly the industry is. But if you didn't have that, it would be like, sure, try it, whatever, But this is something that if you get into it, it's harder to get out of it, because then you have to find somebody who wants to buy the business. And if you're not turning a profit or you're not making it work, then it's even harder to find somebody who's wants to buy it. And you have to want to do this. And my first concern of reading all of this stuff, the first thing that hit me is like, I don't know if your heart's in it enough to not resent it for what it the toll it will take. Because it's not just a 40-hour a job that you're like, I'll put my creative stuff on hold and get some cash. It's like, oh, this is a lot of work. And people who usually start this kind of stuff love building a business even more than they love teaching. So that is something to really think about, yeah, because it can get real old real fast if it's not your like dream.
One thought I've had, because I know a lot of these franchises tend a lot of locations have co-owners. I've my family has had firsthand experience with business partnerships going very badly and ending in big legal battles and stuff. So I am wary, but I wonder if that is, again, it all depends on the numbers. Like, does it make sense? Can two people make enough? There are co-owners right now, so obviously it's worked for them, but I think their husbands also have very good jobs, so it's kind of like, you know, where does that all math out? But you know, that's another possible route that could, you know, allow for it to be a little bit less burdensome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you see the numbers and you're like, do, 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 okay, so this is the profit, these are the expenses, and here's the net that I would like take home. And then, and of course, that the part of what take comes out of the profits is the loan repayment. So then here's the nut that I would get to take home every month or whatever. And then I want you to ask yourself, is there any other way I can earn that much money? Because that's a lot of work, especially, and I'm talking like for the first 3 or year, really until you pay the loan back. And it's like, is there a better way to earn that amount of money during that time than this? That's a good question. Yeah. And is it too much? I mean, it just, you can only grow so many things at the same time. First of all, you're trying to grow your daughter. And
Yeah.
then if you're also trying to grow your daughter and grow your creative career and grow into this business, that's a lot. So with the exception of your daughter, it'll all go slower. You know, so you're definitely putting something that will hold the creative career back, because this will definitely take your full attention for at least 1 year. I don't want to say that it's not possible, because I don't know enough to say if it is or not. But, you know, creatively, your creative juice will go this way and not that way. And then you have to ask, how will that feel? Yeah. And then your temperament for risk and your partner's temperament for risk. And that differs between people. And for some people, it would be like, it just doesn't bother me. I love the risk. I actually get energy from the risk. And then for other people, be like, oh my God, if I have any credit card debt, I like can't sleep at night. So it just depends on your makeup. Yeah. But all I would say is that do not say yes until it's a full body yes. And it'll either be a full body yes or a full body no. And you won't have that until you've gotten all your questions answered. And you've seen all the numbers and everything, and then you'll have all the data, and then you can ask yourself. Yeah.
The good thing is there's no urgency. Like it was really, you know, when they brought this up to me, they were very much like, sometimes this comes together quickly. Sometimes this is a very long, slow process. Sometimes, you know, it's possible that we may walk quite a ways down this road and you may decide it's not right for you very far down the road, and then that's okay. No hard feeling. They're very like understanding of, I can decide it's not for me at any point. The only request they had was when or if I know that I'm a no, to like, you know, let that no
Yeah.
be shared with them as soon as I'm sure of it. But if I'm a maybe, they're willing to kind of take the time to really like explore it fully. So
That's great.
yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no rush. I can really figure it out.
Well, the good news is that just for contemplating this, just for looking into this, you're going to learn things about yourself, and you're going to go stronger as a business person, just from evaluating this opportunity. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have anything else?
No, I mean, I think again, it's hard. Like, I think this is good, the stuff you mentioned, to just kind of research and think on, and yeah, I mean, I think I just have to see the numbers and start to make sense from that. I may be back with questions about understanding, you know, some of those things, but
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's definitely kind of like a left turn that I can see a path of it working, especially because it's not starting a business from scratch. Like it's kind of, keeping one that I know very well afloat. But yeah, all the things you said, and I'm definitely reluctant to, sacrifice too much of my creativity. So that's a lot to factor in, a lot to like pick people's brains on and see.
Yeah.
It actually looks like.
And a figure I'd really be interested to see is sort of like the graph of members or like sales, because is it a business that has had big peaks and valleys? Because you have to then be prepared, like, well, it all comes out in the wash, okay, but emotionally, when people aren't signing up for classes, can I handle that? Can I handle a roller coaster if it's a roller coaster? And because it's all marketing, it's like, can you get people to know about this and want to take the classes and then stay for more classes? And like, how hard? That's what I'd want to know from other, like, how hard are you having a time right now?
The good news with it being the franchise model, which I, have some nervousness about, but it's nice that there's the whole network of franchise
Brand
owners. So
recognition.
you're at least like, brand recognition, also like you have a built-in kind of group of other people doing the same thing around the country to kind of learn from and get that kind of support from. So it wouldn't be like totally on a on an island.
And I would also ask, I would find out in the franchise agreement, what's the boundary around a new one of those opening? Close, like what's, because sometimes it's like they won't sell another one in a city, but sometimes it's like, oh, anybody who wants one. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
We'll
great
see.
talking with you. Yeah. Cricket, are you here? Cricket.
I'm here.
Hi, Cricket. Oh, your hair's
Hey,
getting long. Your hair's getting long.
yes.
Cricket is a cash flow tiger, side business, film festival strategy consultant, and then her job is actually doing that kind of same kind of education at an arts school. So, congratulations. You said 2024 was a wonderful year for you. Woohoo! In terms of networking at festivals and expanding. And you served your first year on the board of the Film Festival Alliance and was recent they recently asked you to chair the education committee. Perfect. 100% up your alley, just what you said.
Thank you.
Okay. So to encapsulate what you wrote, you worked on doing panels for a film festival. You have done this before for this festival. It did not go well and cost you $250 of unexpected costs. And you just learned that the executive director has split. They didn't really tell you in a timely manner. And they're like, hey, want to come back again? and so now your question is, well, I don't really, but I don't want the board and the programmer and the assistant director, who's now the interim director, to think I'm leaving because this other person left, and maybe I want to leave the door open to return in the future. So how do I quit and stay on good terms with the new team? Should I write him a letter? Should I ask for a meeting? What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah, where you're at with it right now.
I want to be done.
Okay.
I was so frustrated the day I was leaving the festival, packing up. I was like, this is the last time I'll ever be in this town. And nothing has changed my feelings.
Yeah, it's a shit show and it's beneath you at this point.
It really is. And there was something else that I learned that I think was a really important lesson is that I don't think I can learn any more or grow any more by continuing to work with them.
Yeah, such important to know of like, this is diminishing returns for me now. I've gotten what I can get out of here. Now I'm just doing it.
Yes. Yes. And I don't think that the assistant director who's only been doing this job for 6 months is going to be better at her job than the person who is running the show who has 25 years in film festivals. I think it's just going to be more of a mess, just a different type of mess.
So, what's your fear if you write them a lovely letter and say, thank you, I have learned a lot. I've met so many wonderful people, and I'll be moving on.
I think that there are a couple of people. The head programmer is somebody that, you know what? And I also think this interim executive director are people that I am likely to see in this film festival world in the future. And I want to be on good terms with them. And that to me seems like, oh, you've frozen. Have I frozen?
No, how? No.
Oh, okay, now I can see you. That seems to me a reason to have a meeting and just do this in a personal way. As a writer, writing letters takes me a lot of time. So I think it would take me more time to craft a letter than to say, hey, can we hop on Zoom?
So for everybody here, writing the letter, breaking up in a letter or breaking up in person. If the letter is going to take so much more energy than in person, I would vote in person. However, if you're the type of person who, if you do it in person and you're like, oh, they might convince me to do a little other thing for them, then letter only. If you cannot hold that boundary of no, I'm just here to say leaving, like no matter what you say to me, how much money you throw at me, how much whining you do, how much we need you, how much flattery you give me, how much little like tiny thing they want you to still do, if you cannot maintain that boundary, letter. That's my only hesitation. But if you can hold the boundary, then absolutely Zoom is fine, takes less energy, boom, you're done.
Do you feel like it's still polite to write a letter, even though I've had a relationship with them for 4 years now?
Hey guys, I'm so sorry we can't do this in person. My schedule is really packed, but I wanted to tell you sooner rather than later. So please forgive me that I'm dashing this off in writing. It's
Okay.
been great. You were lovely. I met a lot of great people. But when I look ahead at my schedule for the next couple years, this is just not something I'm going to be able to fit into it. I wish you
Right.
all the best. Bye.
Okay. That's quick and easy.
Yeah, see, now I just wrote it for you.
Yes.
Literally type that up. That's it. That's it. You're busy. You're busy. Look, if you were on a book tour for your novel, you'd be writing that from the road and being like, bye. It would only take you so much time to write the letter, A, because you're trying to manage their feelings and you want to say it just perfectly. To make anybody unhappy, impossible. And because you have time to write, to spend that much time writing a letter. People who don't have time to write the letter write short, quick letters because now the time. So
No, that's a
sometimes
really,
you have,
really good point. That's a really good point. I think I am trying to manage their feelings.
100%.
And I also just want to point out, they didn't try to manage mine. I found out from a third party about the executive director being fired.
Yeah, that's why I think knowing you, knowing the little bits that I know about you, I'm not sure you're ready to break up over Zoom. I'm not sure you're ready to break up. Oh, Cricket, but just the one little thing. Can you just do this one panel? No, I think you need letters for a while to keep those boundaries.
I am not even interested in hearing them try try to get me back.
Why pull through it? But I think you still have a tendency, and I think that because you literally said it would take me so long to write a letter, I'm like, that's because you're trying to manage the feelings and you're
It
trying to
is.
control it.
It
And
is.
it's the same thing. It's just sort of a theme kind of between what we've been talking about today
It is.
is like, if you say, if Kira says, I'm so sorry, but I don't want this or I need this much, it's like you can't control how they think of you because you've said that. You can't control what all five of these people are going to think about you when you say you don't have any room in your schedule for them. You can't control that. And you are not burning a bridge because you're being professional. You're telling them in a timely manner. You're writing a really lovely letter thanking them and praising them. You're not burning a bridge. That doesn't mean the other person won't light fire to that thing, though. Well, fuck her. Two people can burn a bridge. Yeah, so the only thing that's in your control is you not lighting it on fire. So write a nice letter and wish them the best. They taught you a lot with muscles and boundaries and what you won't take. And the thing I would like you to take from all of this is I would like you to redraw the line in the sand over what you will take and what you will not take. And the minute you smell a shit show ever again, it's like, I'm out. I don't do this. I don't do this.
Well, that's part of what I learned last year, by being so out there, is that if somebody's being disorganized over me showing up to do something for them for 90 minutes, that's not a problem. What's a problem is when we're talking about running eight panels over 4 days involving, between 20 and 40 panelists. That's the problem. Like, if somebody's like, hey, we'll pay for your airfare and this, this, and this, and fly you in, and you talk on this topic for 90 minutes, I'm like, okay, I can accept your amount of disorganization. I'm a big girl, but it was just the repeated, and it was also year three. And Christine, remember that for last year, you and I worked on what we would put in my contract, and they went against everything, including overpaying me. I don't think I told you that part. They overpaid me.
Oh, good.
I did not let them know.
Yeah.
But I'm
Yeah, you
like,
don't need to do their business for them. I mean, that's just you getting something good out of their mess, rather than something bad out of their mess. Yeah, I was actually quite happy to receive this. I'm like, oh my God, she's gonna stop doing this. I was sad it went so poorly, but I'm really glad you're like, okay, no. No. Yeah, good for you, cricket.
Me too. I feel I have a lot more clarity on what I want to do, including quarter one. I'm not focusing on building my business so much as cleaning up from last year's big travel and reassessing what my goals really are.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah,
Okay.
congratulations.
Thank you. All right, I'll write the letter this week after I download all the contacts I need.
There you go. And then by then, this recording will be posted, and you can just type, 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 and off you go.
Exactly. Thank you so
Oh,
much.
you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Okay. It's good to see you. Let me move this over. Phoebe.
Hi, Christine. Thank you. This is amazing. I
Oh,
feel
good, good.
so much better already just
Oh, good.
hearing all of it. And one thing that jumped out to me that kind of helped me get my question clear was, if we get a promotion, it does not mean that we have to work more. Because the thing that I need to do in my business, which is raising my prices. I need to raise my prices. I'm a professional harpist working
Ah,
with,
yes, you.
yeah, I'm the other harpist, but like
Harpist, yes.
you've been working on I think that exact thing
Yeah.
with our fellow member
Yes.
for some time. I heard two sessions tidbits around it. And the thing is, Christine, here's so the full picture is I'm a professional harpist, I gig, and I teach. And finishing my first album that, thank you so much. That's my creative, that's the thing that I need to make the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's really it. Because, Christine, I have the album. I'm making a music video for each track. So, six tracks, six music videos, and then touring for the first time ever as like an artist with the album stuff, with visuals, with lights, like the whole thing. Okay, that's what I'm doing, but my comfort zone and what I've done since I've been like 6 years old is gigging as a wedding harpist, doing tons of weddings events. Teaching is the least favorable thing, my least favorite thing, even though I still do get a lot out of it in the sense that I love my students. I've been really dreading it lately. I've been really dreading it. And I've been like losing students for different reasons. Even now with the fires, my longest student, her harp just burnt down in a fire.
God,
Her
yeah.
whole house is gone, you know? And it's heartbreaking and ironic that it's weird because Maya, that student, it's like she's my longest student, but also like I had a big issue with commitment beforehand, with like the thought of committing to teaching students long term freaked me out. I was somebody who did more waitressing, bartending, like things that I switched jobs to make cash, but teaching gave me stability. It allowed me to focus most on my gigs and on my harp and not the drain of restaurants. But it was a big, like, sort of, it was a relationship that has lasted a long time. But sometimes I felt like I was just teaching because I didn't want to let Maya down, you know? And so, Christine, as my students have dwindled, I'm not upset about it, but I also, of course, need the income. Gigs have been really good lately, but that could change. I haven't raised my prices for teaching or for gigging in years. I haven't raised my prices since definitely before COVID. I haven't raised them. I know I could give myself a raise. I know I could give myself a raise. I don't know exactly how much or whatnot, but I know I need to do it. And so I guess I come to you to get clarity on, hey, what are the steps I should take to sort of figure out how much I should raise my prices? Last thing I'll say is I just got married. I hired a musician at my wedding, and I was like, and other vendors for my wedding, where I was like, wow, she's charging a lot more than I charge. And I play the harp and I'm dragging it around. Like, I know. And that's not even in LA. That was in Massachusetts. So
Oh.
it was kind of eye-opening to be like, Phoebe, you have to raise your prices. So Christine, yeah, I think it's like this is my first question, but I am really committed to coming to cash flow and working on this, like writing down whatever it is, doing it, like with the beacon of my album and my tour being the thing I need to do the most, but
Yeah.
that I have to make my money and
Okay. Question. How many students do you have right now?
okay, so now with Maya being on hiatus, I have one second while I think. I've got Josie, I've got Drew, I've got Heidi, I've got Claire. Honestly, I think it's down to five students now, and one of
Okay.
those could cancel
Okay.
a week. And I used to have like
And
probably
so what's
sorry, what?
used to have how many?
Oh, I used to, I think like,
Used to have
yeah, I used to have like closer to 20 students at one
okay.
point, and I hated it. And I
Yeah, okay.
consciously dialed it back and got gigs in like, so then 10 students still, I'm like, ugh. Eight students, I was like, this is pretty
Okay.
cool.
And
I wouldn't be bummed out if I never taught a lesson again.
Right. And so what's your commitment to these five people? Have you like are you like I'll be your teacher through the competition or I'll be your teacher for all of high school or
Yeah, it's sort of like I'm just gonna plug in my device. It's starting to get a little it's certainly not a commitment that's ever been verbalized. I feel like I have a sort of unspoken commitment to them that I'll stick with them through the times they go to college. That's been the pattern. It's like I'll work with them until they go to college, and then usually they maybe even still do some lessons after that, but I feel
okay.
more committed to them than I probably need to. Some of these kids, Christine, they don't want to do lessons. I think we have a good relationship, and you know what I mean? But like,
Yeah.
they're not practicing.
Right. Well, let's just say if your harp burned down, they would go find another harp teacher. So you
Right.
actually have no real commitment to them.
No. No.
You know, it's
Right.
you might have a relationship with them, you might be bonded with them, but you don't have a commitment. They haven't
No.
paid you $6,000 ready for a year's worth of teaching or whatever.
Nope. It's literally like month by
Okay.
month.
Yeah. So if you weren't teaching at all, would you have the time and the bandwidth to do more harp gigs?
For certain, for certain. If I had more harp gigs, I wouldn't even, and I haven't even done the numbers. Like I'm doing Launch into Abundance now, so I'm really getting the numbers now and I'm getting more clear. But like I would have more time to do more gigs if I wasn't teaching those kids. It's not like those, yeah. I would say that it's like because it's at such a low number now, it's not as if it's seriously holding me back, but it's a major energy drain.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You're not into it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
No moral thing about no, you have to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Which do you hate more, teaching or marketing to find higher paying harp gig clients and more of them?
I would say teaching. If
Yeah.
I am like I'm down
Yeah.
to do the mark.
So what if you went to all these lovely students and said, I will be able to serve you through the end of February or through the end of March. You find another harp teacher and you say, I'd be happy to refer my students to you. Any student who decides to go with you, I would love $100. Are you up for that agreement? Just flat, a flat fee, because I'm literally handing you a client.
Right.
Now, your clients may or may not go with the teachers you recommend, but if you gave them a list of three teachers and you made an agreement with each of those teachers that for every one of these particular students who go, you get $100, and at least you have 500 extra dollars.
Right. And
So
I,
that
yeah.
would, and then raise your rates on your harp gigs. And market to get more of those and market with high-end people, you know. And I have no idea. Have you ever like thought about seeing if you could get jobs as studio musicians in the industry as a harpist?
I get sometimes inquiries, and then I do that like by people finding me and asking me to do studio stuff. That's how I've done it. I haven't marketed myself as a studio harpist, but I've certainly done recording work.
And do you like that? Do you like doing that?
It depends on the project. And I would say like for instance, and through experience, I know I would be much more inclined if I got some huge offer of like play the next John Williams movie. Like I think I'd have to refer someone else because I certainly don't want to be like a studio musician recording artist because it does take so much
Okay.
from me.
That's fine. I'm just
Yeah.
asking. Yeah.
But
It's
at
not everybody's cup of tea. It's a
yeah.
very specific type of work.
It is, but it's interesting, Christine, because the person that built my website who I tried to work with, I did work with in essence, building my business at a couple years ago. I essentially just wanted business cards. And then this person who's my neighbor, talk about boundaries and being like a nice girl, because somehow I ended up like paying him every month to do work for me. That was, I just wanted business cards, and he made me sign up for this whole program thing with him. And like,
Okay, he didn't make you. Watch your language on
thank
that. He
you.
didn't.
Thank you.
But lesson learned. It was a rough, expensive lesson.
It was a rough, expensive lesson. It was a lot of energy drain. I mean, yes, I did get beneficial things from it, but I remember being like, okay, so, on my website, like, okay, and then let's put for recording work, because I like recording work, and especially if I can decide yes or no on
Yeah.
what kind of project. But
Sure.
he was like, no, this isn't where you would do that. That's a different thing. This is, so like, I don't advertise for it in any way. I would have happily have get in touch with me about recording, but it
Okay.
was ended up being just students and gigging that was mentioned on that. So,
Okay.
but like, I like it, especially if I'm recording from home. I have a recording setup. I
Okay, can you
just,
change your website without his?
yeah, like, and I think it's funny because I noticed an issue with my website and I was like, I don't even want to reach out to him. And then
No, but you can.
he's, I can, yeah, I can. He saw the mistake and he reached out to me yesterday. And it just always makes me think, I don't want to have to talk to Tim at all. Ultimately, I'd like to work with another website person, but I can change it. Like, I can log into WordPress, I can put those words on there.
You know, it might be, might just want to do a whole nother website.
Yeah, okay.
Just there's just easy drag and drop stuff these days. You could certainly come back to Cashflow and fill out, one of these questions in advance
Sure.
so I can look at your website and sort of
Yeah.
if it's not, I bet you could have a lovely luxe looking website and never have to talk to, I just think it's might be good to just. And you want a website that you can change things on so that if you want to change your prices, you don't have to
Right.
talk to anybody. You just click, 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 and change the thing on the website.
Right. I
Yeah.
had that before, and then Tim was
Yeah.
like, Squarespace sucks. You shouldn't do this. And
Okay. God bless Tim. He got you online.
yeah.
Okay. But I think that we could move on from
Yeah.
Tim
Yeah.
because, and the reason I say that is I can just tell that it's just taking a lot of your psychic energy over there.
Really is,
Yeah.
Christine.
It's
It
just,
really
and you don't have, by the way, this is really important for you, Phoebe. You do not have to say anything to Tim. You do not have to ask Tim's permission. You paid Tim for his work, and now you just, oh, I just decided to do a refresh. Period. End of sentence. But why? Tim, don't worry about it. That is an important muscle.
Yeah,
for you
man.
to develop. Like, you don't have to justify and explain and ask permission. You just don't say anything. He'll eventually notice, and then he may or may not say anything.
Right.
And
So
then
then
you're like, oh, I just did a refresh.
what about the like website that I currently have that he's connected to? Do I leave it there or take it?
No. Okay. So here's the thing. The domain
Yeah.
URL that someone types in,
Yep.
that is hosted by a company,
Right.
DreamHost, GoDaddy, whatever. You should
Right.
have the login information for
Yeah.
that.
Yep.
Because all you do is you go in there and you tell, let's say, GoDaddy to redirect it over here to the
Got it.
new website instead of old website.
Got it.
And you can hire somebody to help you with that. And if Tim also has the password for that, change your password.
Right.
Change all of your passwords, including to your main website. Like, change all the passwords before you do anything, because people can get vindictive and he can go in there and
Right.
yeah.
Do
So
something weird.
all the
Yeah.
passwords. And I recommend that for everybody listening. If you have worked with a web person and you're like done with their work and they don't need to keep, they're not your assistant that needs to keep coming in and going,
Right.
you say thank you, you cut the check, and you change all your passwords.
Okay.
Because you can always give them the password if they need to do something, but you
Yep.
don't want someone just having open access to your business.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So what are you going to raise your rates to for gigs? What did you pay the gal in Massachusetts?
Right. Well, yeah. So, I mean, like she was doing 3 hours for $1,000.
Okay.
Okay. And I currently charge excuse me. I charge 450 flat for like 2 hours. 450.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
Well, it's a good question because I think for certain it should be at least 500 for 2 hours because if I'm going to raise my prices, five hundred.
Is that going to be significant enough to replace your teaching?
Right, right, right. I don't know, Christine. I guess I don't know what I want to raise them to, but yeah, I think that $50 is. It's not going to make this huge. It's not like I have enough gigs for that to make a big enough difference.
Right. But what if you did $1,000 for 3 hours?
Right. Okay. What if?
For up to 3 hours.
Right.
If they only wanted you for two, it's still a thousand, because the $1,000 is not to play for them. The $1,000 is to lug your harp over there.
Right.
The
Right.
play, you can say to them, oh, I'll play for you for free up to 3 hours, but you have to pay me $1,000 to lug my harp over there.
Right. The harp lugging.
Yeah, the harp lugging.
The harp lugging. So, yeah, I mean, that would be sweet. If I was making $1,000 for 3 hours, that would be sweet.
Phoebe, are you rich?
No.
Right, but you paid some girl
Yeah.
in Massachusetts $1,000 to play her harp for or whatever for 3 hours.
Right. Right.
You did that
Right.
because you wanted to have that beautiful sound at your event.
Right, right.
And you're not rich.
No.
So other people who are not rich but want a
Right.
beautiful harp sound at their event will pay you $1,000. You did.
I have to say, she was very nice and gave me a discount because
Also,
it
oh, she gave
was
you.
also, yeah, well,
Okay.
Christine, so it was different. Like, it was interesting because seeing how she shows pricing. Because she breaks it down like I liked it. It was like, okay, I play two hours for your dinner, or 3 hours for your reception. It was like these little, it was like a menu, like play for your
Yeah.
reception.
Well, why don't you do that?
Right. Like I was having a reception, and so I
No,
think
but Phoebe, What if you just did what she does
Did what she did. Yeah.
and see how it goes?
Yeah, I literally could do that, Christine. I could. Yeah.
Start there. Get a
Okay.
new website. Bless Tim. Raise your rates. Stop teaching and use the time that you are teaching to get more $1,000 gigs.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
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 Okay, good. Come back and we'll talk more.
I'll be back, Christine. Thank you.
Awesome. We have five. You're very welcome, Phoebe. So good to see you again, by the way.
You too. Thank you.
Doreen, we got 5 minutes. How can I help you?
I know I got 5 minutes. So this just came to me. So when we first spoke back in November, I was considering using social media for my coaching business. And you said, you know, that's really more towards specifically with the company I was looking at. It's more for influencers, actors, and not really for businesses. That was your opinion.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
Okay. I don't remember the context in which I came to that conclusion, is all I'm saying. That could be very correct, but I
Yeah, because
don't remember the
what I wanted
context.
to do was I wanted to build my business and to like more than triple the income.
Oh, like to like put out a lot of stuff on social media.
I didn't want to do that
Yeah, so what
specifically.
I
And but I had been doing it, and you said, you know, I don't see it work. What I see working is direct contact with people.
Right, especially because monetizing the
Yes.
social media part is only
So,
for influencers and people who are like, I'm taking this so seriously as a business and learning all the ins and outs and the monetization.
yeah. So what I did was I focused on a new module that you helped me create,
Okay.
and I did a hell of a lot of work on it. And what I did was I've got something now. You know, I was able to get five people to sign up. I didn't, you know, it was more than I was going to have in that quarter anyway, or in that month anyway. But it was the holidays, and then there's the fires. And then one of the things you said was, I need, oh, no. So I started thinking about, well, if I'm doing the work that I'm doing, and now I'm going to work towards my program that's my other program that starts on February 4th, because I had used up all my energy and time working on that new module. I barely got traction going on my module that starts in less than 3 weeks.
Okay.
And one of the things you said, which I totally agree with, was, Doreen, you got to stop messaging to the same people because I have my email list. So you got to get more. And I'm like, okay. So I listed people that I could reach out to. And hardly anybody has gotten back to me. And I got, and I'm thought, and I thought, you know, I did talk to this guy. And I told him what you said, that it really wouldn't work for my business. And I didn't give him any details. I just said, it doesn't seem to work for my business. He said, he wrote back and he said, well, I disagree. He said, I think that specifically social media, where's my computer's closed. I wanted to pull up his, I had it set, his email. He said, I see that perspective. He didn't say I disagree. I see that perspective, but I'd actually argue the opposite. Instagram is built for businesses and B2C organizations first. Actors and influencers are just the personal manifestation of this. We have dozens of coaching and acting educators as clients. So with that in mind, I thought, okay, he's charging somewhere around $1,000 a month. And I thought, how crazy would it be for me to get a business loan of $12,000 and let him do all that heavy lifting for a year? Because if I'm working without him on that goal anyway, I should be able to pay back that loan whether or not he helps me make more money out of it.
Wait, say that again so it's more clear.
So even without him, I'm working towards a higher income goal.
Yes.
And I'm working towards a goal that should be able to allow me to pay that loan back by the end of the year. if I keep working my ass off, which I'm already doing. But how much more could it be if I hired this person to reach out to total strangers in addition to my warm calls?
I understand it.
I'm not looking for, I'm not making any decisions here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for your opinion because I have another
yeah,
question.
I
I just
think
want to
that
say one sentence.
I think it sounds, everything looks great on paper. You can always make the numbers work on paper. When you hire someone who's effectively like, he's doing PR. He's like, let me do your social media. Like, let me help you reach out. You are paying him for his service, likely with no guarantee of results.
Well, there never is. Yeah, we
right.
understood that from the beginning. Yeah.
Right. When you pay for PR people, there's no guarantee for results. You're just hoping that they're able to make something happen. So just clear. If you were saying to me, I have $12,000 that I've saved up, and I think I want to invest it in something like this. I would say, sure, invest it $1,000 at a time, not 12,000 of it, you know, like, or per quarter, give them $3,000 and let's see the results after a quarter, what
You know
they'll
what
likely
I
say.
forgot? You know what I forgot, Christine? He offers like a 3-month package.
Yeah, I know. Because it takes, I was just about to say, you know, what they'll likely come back is like, we can't just do a month. You have to do several months because we're building up the momentum and it'll take a while for the momentum. So you do 3,000, maybe you do four. But the fact that you would need to take out a loan, so this is going to cost you more than $12,000 because you will be paying interest on that loan. And now you have an added pressure on you to make the money that you intend to make, and you can still do that. You can still go take the loan, but the fundamentals that we've been talking about, like the thing that I see at the core of your business is that you're the thing that you're selling doesn't cost enough. If you were selling $1,000 packages, then you'd only need to sell 13 of them or 14 to pay back the loan. So they'd only need to get you 14 people to say yes. And by the way, they're only getting the part of the marketing that they're doing is getting people's interest. You then need a way for those people to like DM you so that you can start a conversation and then you can sell them into the program. They can get new people to notice you or get on your email list or whatever.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point because I don't think I would do it unless I could have a sign up included in there.
Yeah, and that's the data mark that you would then determine if they're doing a good job, because you getting 100,000 more followers to your Instagram account means nothing if you can't get the 14 people to then sign up for your list and or, you know, then convert them into sales.
Right.
So
okay.
Their
data
metric is like, is what they're putting out for you on social media getting people to actually sign up to your list? And then are you doing enough and to get the people who sign up into your world to convert into clients?
Right. I'm not worried about it. I just put it out there. But one of my warm calls, so to speak, my emails, I just got stuck and I'm like, I don't know how to figure this out. I'm like, I'll just ask Christine. So one of the women that I was reaching out to, I reached out to her before and she kind of put me on the back burner.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I just want to acknowledge for everybody else that I will stay on a few more minutes with Dream, but that's the end of our cash flow. So if you need to go, like, don't want to hurt my feelings by like going, you can go, you can go.
That's
or
why
you
I
can
was talking
stay
so
and
fast.
Listen.
I'm like,
yeah,
ah.
That's okay. That's okay. We got like 5 more minutes. So,
okay.
So you warm call, reached out to this woman.
This was a few years ago where I wanted to present. She's a professor at East LA College.
Mm-hmm.
And bigwig at the theater department. And I wanted to give a talk to her students. That's where I wanted to start. And that was a while ago. And it kind of, and the timing just wasn't right and all of this stuff. But reaching out to her about my program, I'm like, oh yeah. First of all, I think somewhere here we, oh yeah. Who is teaching HARP? Had mentioned that they don't like teaching. And I think it's because of the students. Like, oh yeah, I know people who don't like to be there. That's why I don't like to work with newbies in the business. I like to work with people who've been there for a while. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to reach out to her students because they're just, you know,
Their student, do the students gonna have a bunch of money to give to you?
I don't know. I can't assume that they do or they don't.
But they're already in school
That's
learning the
not my
stuff.
question.
Okay.
My question is, because not only is she a bigwig over at ELAC, she also is very popular in the theater community in LA.
Okay.
What can I say to her to share my message, my, you know, crafted email to encourage her to share it with her community? The first thing that I came
Yeah,
up
well,
with
what
was,
you want to.
and this is going back to social media, it's probably, that's funny. Go ahead, you say what you're going to say.
No, go ahead.
I thought
What
about
did you want?
maybe interviewing her on an Instagram, and that way her followers, all these theater people, would see us together, and that could be a way for me to be exposed to her people.
That's definitely a way. Okay. That's definitely, there's two things in marketing. There's list building, which is being exposed to new audiences, and then hopefully some of those people join your list. And that's what that kind of interview would be great for. She's sharing her audience with you. Your list grows. Next time, then you have a promotion for something, you can sell to your list. But you can't just keep selling to a list that always has the same people on it because eventually everyone on it has bought your stuff and they're like, okay, moving on. There's list building and there's enrollment or a launch for something you're selling. And those are two different things and they have two different kinds of marketing. So if you interviewed her, hoping that that would suddenly turn into sales, it's likely you might get one or two maybe out of that, but you might get some people on your list. But if you would like her to help you sell something, you have to go to her and say, so I'm reaching out to you in case some of the people you know, I know you're connected to the theater community, some of the people you work with, don't mention her students, but you could say maybe a student or two needs this. The problem you solve, the thing that the actors are doing that's tripping them up, they need help with this. If I just am reaching out in case you know some actors who need help with this, because I have this program that solves this problem and it's enrolling at this time. Would you be able and willing to send out a little announcement to your people or share this with your people? I can certainly like send you copy if you want some. And then, but that's asking her directly. Will you email and say, hey, Doreen has this thing, you should check it out and perhaps take it? That's selling. It's direct. List building is indirect. Oh, we're going to have this interview, and maybe you'll like me, and maybe you'll figure out I have something to sell, and maybe you'll buy it. That's very indirect. But if you need to get butts into seats and have people pay you money, you have to make direct requests to people who will help you get butts in seats. Do you
Okay.
see
Yeah.
that?
Yeah, I've
Yeah.
sent out those emails.
So what that $12,000 to this company, the social media company, would help you with is list building.
Yeah.
So, but still, we come back to the core is how much are you charging for the thing that you're selling? And how much are you charging for the thing you're selling? How much are you charging?
$400.
Okay. So then, you calculate. I'm getting my calculator. So $12,000 divided by 400. You'd need like probably 36 sales to pay back the loan. That's before you make any profit. So you're going to need, if you can do 66 sales, then you have made around $12,000 because you paid back the loan and then you've made $12,000. But it's, can you get 66 people to give you $400? And that is about your ability to communicate the sizzle of what you're offering. You have the steak. We know your thing works. You're good at teaching. That's the steak. But are you good enough at talking to people so that they will make the decision to work with you and give you $400?
Okay.
So
This is very helpful.
But I would definitely like, if you're going to try with them, only do it for a limited amount of time, 3 months, 4 months, and then look at the metric. What did that $4,000 get you in terms of signups to your list? Yeah,
The thing
not
I
just.
was thinking about was the idea of how we'll call them big wig business people, they use other people's money. And I thought, oh, that's what a loan is. What if I use somebody else's money to do this?
Yeah, a lot of businesses are not profitable. They're just using other people's money,
That's
but
true.
they're not profitable. And so we have to be very careful as solopreneurs because this is like our money and our credit, our credit score and our resources. It's not a business partner who's like, and let's throw 12,000 and see what sticks. Because you don't have that money to throw around. If you had the 12,000 just sitting there in your bank account and you're like, I could do that. I could spend that. I'd be like, if you want to, go ahead. But you don't have it right now. You're going to take out a loan and now you're getting into territory that's debt. That's pressure, that's interest. And again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with oh no, with Erica. What's your tolerance for that kind of pressure? And everybody has different tolerances. So I hope that helps. I hope that like gives you just something to chew on as you make this decision.
It does help a lot. Thank you.
And
I was kind of.
I would definitely ask the PR people, the social media people, can you give me names of two clients that were very similar to my type of business that hired you? I'd love to talk to them.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And of course they're going to give you recommendations to people who it worked for, but at least you can be like, what did you actually get out of
Yeah.
this?
I mean, he
How much?
listed some people's names and I recognize them from like in the industry who are teachers. I'm like, I guess I could call them.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Like, did you have a good experience? Would you spend that same money again? Yes, no. It was okay, but I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting. Yeah, just more food for thought.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys. See you next month on the 2nd of
February
February.
2nd,
Yes, thank you, Kate.
yep.
He's sweeping up the rear of me. Thank you very much. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Great questions.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.